My story starts when I was a young kid. Give me a second.
You're fine.
My story starts when I was a young kid and I had started drinking. I didn't know that just drinking and smoking reefer was going to take me to homelessness. As I began smoking reefer and drinking wine, I thought it was all fun at first. Then as time went on, my so-called fun turned into cocaine, pills, and eventually I became homeless. It didn't start that way. I was okay as long as my mother was living, but in 1990, all that changed when my mother died. I became a drifter. I stayed with a friend here and there, only to get put out when I didn't come home with my check. I wind up downtown and working for Tops. During all of this, I had to keep a job because I had to have money to in order to support my habits. I remember one time I was sitting on the bench because I didn't get no work at Tops, and a family friend got off the bus, and she said, "Luke, help me with my bags." I helped her with her bags around to this hotel, not too far from here, and I remember I wanted to ask her for $5, but I didn't. As I was walking back and she went to work, I was walking past this window, and I looked in the window, and I saw a bum. That bum was me. As time went on, I didn't have a place to stay. I started staying in vacant houses. I remember one night not going to work, so I didn't have any money to buy any drinks, and the night fell upon me, so I had to go in the vacant house sober. This was the longest night of my life. I remember lining up little objects, soda bottles, soda cans, in order to throw at the rats so that they wouldn't come near me. Morning break, I immediately got up and went down to get some work. I remember working for Edward G. building swimming pools, and I was making pretty good money, but I had nowhere to stay. I remember one particular night into morning that I couldn't get drunk no more. I just was standing, looking in the mirror, wondering, what's next? What am I going to do? I remember this time when, because I was doing a lot of thinking, that I needed some help, I needed to change, but I didn't know how. A friend of mine had told me about the Helping Up mission and where I could go to get help, and it was free. I went there, but I continued to use. I remember one day a friend of mine came to me who used to live down the street. He was also there. He said, "Luke, my grandmother passed," and told me the date of the funeral, and we went to the funeral, and on the way home from the funeral, I was in a 5-car pileup where I broke my leg. That, I believe, was a true turning point in my life because I couldn't keep still, so God set me still. My leg was broken. I laid there on this bed, just thinking, what's next, what's next? A couple of months went by, and my leg started healing. I was in rehab, so a friend, I was walking a mile or so, and he turned me on to Earl's Place. That's where I got my real recovery start. At Earl's Place, I went there with this job. I was working at Movable Feast. Movable Feast, they deal with HIV and AIDS patients, where they something like Meals on Wheels, where they take them meals. At Movable Feast, I learned about buying a house. So there I went to this program. I investigated a little, and I went to these two seminars, and they told me about buying a house. So I was on my way a little. Then I got a part-time job at McDonald's. 5 months after I got the part-time job at McDonald's, I lost the morning job, which was my main source of income. 5 months went by. I'm working at McDonald's 3 nights a week. I'm trying to survive, but I still want this house. So as I'm trying to get this house, I called my older sister. She then told me, Boo Boo signed, that's my nickname, Boo Boo, fill out the application for John Hopkins and I'll see what I can do. December 30th of 2000, and let's say a couple years ago, I got the call, and it was December. The reason why I remember it because December 30th is my birthday, and I got the call for John Hopkins. So I'm all excited. I couldn't sleep the night of the interview. So I get the interview, and I get the job. About 3 months after I was into the job, one of the coworkers told me about the Live Where You Work program. He gave me a little brochure, so I immediately jumped on it. I went over to the Phipps building. They told me what to do. I go up there. Now, I'm trying to get this house, and when I finally get to the seminars and this and that, fill out all the paperwork, the people tell me, Luke, you can't afford this house on paper. I say, well, I'm paying $515. They say, but that's not $750. I say, okay. Now what? So I keep going back up to 33rd. That's the main office for the Live Where You Work program. So I go back up there. I'm talking to these people. Now, I didn't know at that time that the second time the third time that I went back up on 33rd, that's John Hopkins at Easton, that the lady I was talking to, she called someone who called someone who called someone. I also kept going to the Oliver Street Community Center where I filled out the paperwork, and she called someone. Now, all of this going on, and I'm getting frustrated, and I'm ready to just say, hell with it all. And I get this call one day and say, Luke? I say, yes. She say, are you ready? I say, ready for what? She say, you've been approved. I said, thank you, Lord. So now I got to go and visit these houses, to visit this house. Now, I was walking past this house on my way to NA meetings. I was walking past these row of houses that they was doing, and a friend of mine let me look in there. So as I looked in, I'm like, oh, I like this. And I see it's nothing but the frame now, you know. So as time go on, I'm looking. I didn't know then that I was going to get one of them houses. Now, when it all came down, it was, Luke, it's three people want the house and you the fourth person. But my persistence and by me keep going back up to 33rd, back up to the community association, back here, back there. Oh, man. When I went in, the dude, the actual viewing, the walkthrough, and the lady said, Luke, you can sign the papers June 11th. I ain't say nothing. And I just left out. So June 11th came around. I'm anxious. So we sitting in a chair, and she come in. She got this big stack of papers for me to sign. I'm looking. So she said, "Luke, you sure you want this house?" I said, "Yeah, I want this house." She said, "All right." So then the actual president of that company came. He said, "Luke, you're the only one that showed that you really wanted this house. So we get to sign in these papers." So the lady said, "You all right?" I said, "Yeah, I'm all right." She said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yeah, I'm all right." Then when she gave me the key, and my friend, she had came up there, when she gave me the key, my friend said, "Let's go down the house." I said, "No, let's go get a load of clothes and come back." So I say, so she wanted to see the house because we've been peeking in the window, but when you only got that much to look through, you know, it's a thing. But now I'm a homeowner, and I feel great. I recently just did some painting. Well, I didn't do the painting. No, I had somebody come in and do the painting. And I'm sitting around, and I'm looking at this house, and I'm saying to myself, "Well, I'm going to find a living room set." And I'm looking, and every morning when I wake up, I smile, and I just say, "Thank you, God," because it's there where I remember these things. I remember the sitting on the bench with nowhere to go. I remember that night with them rats, just like it was last night. I remember. And I just say, "Thank you, God, that I don't have to live like that." And when it all boiled down to, I'm even happy about going to work. Thank you all. Thank you.